Hello, Sylvia Hartley here again. This one is called The Last Time. I'm glad to get out today. My kitchen sink's blocked. I've got some stuff, but I don't think it's worked. I suppose I'll have to get a plumber. Me and Mrs. Webster are going to Norman Dyson's funeral. You know who he is. God in crimpling trousers. Knew everything. We've been friends with Dorothy's wife for over 30 years. Well, as friendly as we could be, because he kept her on a tight lead. Last time I saw her, she were like a bag of tangled knitting wool, all knotted and dithery. Actually, we used to ask her to knit and natter group at the community centre, but he said she'd be too nervous. And he were probably right, although he did let her go to church by herself. Well, he didn't need to go, did he? I think he even chose her clothes, and right mousy things they were too. Someone said he did all the shopping, and I think from what he said a lot of the cleaning, because she soon got tired. Mind you, I took that with a pinch of salt. We did wonder how she was going to cope at funeral. Mrs. Webster said she'd rung a couple of times and got no reply. And Aunt called with a bunch of flowers but had to leave them on the doorstep. We were both hoping Marley and her daughter were looking after her. Church were quite full when we got there. So we squeezed in next to Eric Fawcett and his son. He used to work for the post office. I hope she don't break down, I whispered to Mrs. W as we stood up. Well, you could have knocked me down with a feather. She looked so different. Let's say her dress and jacket were more John Lewis than M&S. I hadn't realised she was so slim. And what's more, she'd done something with her hair. She must have had it cut at a different hairdresser's, because before it always reminded me of a cauliflower, dark perm and too short. It looked really nice, smart and modern, a bit sleek and shiny, and she were wearing lipstick. "Back home," whispered Eric. "What's going on here?" When Vicar said that there were refreshments being served at Royal Oak Hotel across road, and everyone were invited, I nearly fell off me pew. Mrs. W. nudged me. "Good gracious," she whispered. "Are we going?" I nodded. It must have been Marlene's idea. Dorothy never even went in a cafe, let alone a pub. Marlene looked very subdued after us as we walked across road from the graveyard. "I don't know what's happened to me, Mum," she said. "She won't listen to me. I wanted us to have a little do back at the house, but she took no notice and she sorted this out." "Eh, she'll be all right," I told her. "I love the dress you chose for her, and I'm right pleased you got her to change her hairdresser." "That's nothing to do with me. Fancy getting all dolled up for your husband's funeral. Dad had been very upset. He always liked women to look their age. Embrace the years," he used to tell her. "Didn't like women who were fancy." I nudged Mrs. W. It were hard not to giggle, but I coughed instead. "He were allus chatting up fancy bits of stuff. Well, not bits. The well-upholstered, highly coiffured ones. In fact, there was a bit of a rumour about him and Mrs. McIntyre, whose husband left her that garage at the back of the library. You know, her with big hair. Mind you, last time I heard, she'd gone off with a retired dentist from Dewsbury." Dorothy was sat at a table with a small glass of wine. That were another shock. I thought she disapproved of it. There were a few people talking to her, so we sat down with a piece of quiche and watched. I recognised a few of the people from church. One fella brought some food. I think he might have been organist, elderly, on his own as far as I know. Well, aren't most of us at this age? Do you know, when she laughed, she were quite bonny. Marlene and her husband were at another table with Norman's sister, who were crying and trying to eat a sandwich. Not easy. She were looking daggers at her mum. When we finally got a chance to have a word with her, "Eh, love, I'm right sorry about your Norman. How are you doing?" She smiled. "Life's a bit different without him, I must admit. Oh, by the way, this is Harold. He's been a real support these last few weeks." We shook hands. "I'm trying to persuade her to join the choir," he said. "She's got a lovely voice. Maybe it's time she should have a new interest." And he patted her shoulder and grinned. "She's quite musical, you know." "You're very persuasive," she said, and they both laughed. Marlene were telling Mrs. Webster that the day after her dad died, she went and had a manicure of that new place on Main Road. "I can't understand her. Me dad thought nail polish were common, and she always agreed with him. In fact, she wouldn't let me wear it." "Do you know what else she's doing?" Eric Fawcett put his chocolate cake on the table. "What?" "That chap has suggested he has a go at tuning her piano." "Eh, well, we don't get many offers like that at our age," Mrs. W were laughing as she went to get us a small sherry from bar.
"Well, lass," Eric leaned across the table, "have you got anything that needs a tune? How are you at tuning block sinks?"
"Me speciality. I can make bunk sinks fair sing. I'll bring me plunger."